Blog Talk Radio.
Tender rotisserie chicken. Nuggets. New from Boston Market. The real rotisserie taste you love and bite-sized pieces of perfection. Get your hands on a combo meal today. Boom.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Donesia, the commissioner of WBNN. The those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the TextNow app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
My friend.
This is a product of WBNN. This is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation. Brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Today we're discussing healing from gun violence in the Black community. And before we begin, I want to say thanks to everyone for supporting my show. I want to especially thank the O&E Dynasty family for all of their support, as well as the support I received from Brother O. I thank you for giving me the opportunity to share my point of view. I want to take a moment to mention again to you all what my show, Breaking the Silence, is all about. It's about healing and creating a sacred space for women and men. This show is about women healing and making healthy choices after being applied of the oppression and trauma, and accept the power that is naturally yours. We are here to give each other permission to be spiritual and create our tender, loving, and creative reality. The men that are here for healing and also to find their perspective and fulfill their spirituality. Therefore, we are here at this time in this space to understand and clarify our own identity. And we need to turn to one another to do that. And we do that here by discussing some difficult topics. We're all spiritual beings having a human experience, and as souls on this plane, the healing is necessary. I'd like to begin with a quote by Lazarus. He says, "We need hope. We need the expectations and anticipations. We need the presence of soul and spirit that are hope. And out of that sense of hope, new dreams can be born. And out of that sense of hope, new futures can form. Initiation is not enough. We need to fuel what we sense into motion with hope." Again, this is a product of WBNN. This is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Please dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation. Brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Let's jump right to it. June 3rd, 2002 was National Gun Violence Awareness Day. By this date, there were 235 mass shootings in the United States since January. If that pace continues, there will be 586 mass shootings in America by New Year's Eve. As shocking as those gun violence statistics are, they would be an improvement over the prior 2 years. According to the Gun Violence Archive, there were 692 mass shootings in 2021 and 610 in 2020. And these numbers don't include the roughly 20,000 other gun homicides, 25,000 gun suicides, 115,000 non-fatal gun injuries, including the 18,000 children shot and killed and wounded every year. Gun violence doesn't just affect the victim. The trauma also impacts survivors, their families, their communities, as well as society at large. Too often we can develop trauma fatigue, even as we're trying to help the victims and their families of shootings and do our part to prevent school shootings and gun violence in general, which makes us feel helpless in the face of the relentless violence. I have a very, very personal reason for discussing healing from gun violence. My nephew was killed April 24, 2021 in Philadelphia. I live in Philadelphia, and there is a crisis here. In 2021, in Philly, there were 562 homicides. To date, there have been 376 in 2022, which is an increase of 3% from 2021. And shockingly, 84% of these homicides are black-on-black crime. Can we continue to ignore this problem? I think not. I wanted to talk about this because I'm grieving, and I'm in the healing process, as many of you are. I'm still transitioning with my healing journey because the trial has not begun for my nephew's case, so everything is kind of in flux. When I look at the news, I find I'm beyond angry about the subject, and I have members of my own family that will not go to grief counseling because of they don't understand it. the emotions that we have as a family are still raw, and it's just something that I'm dealing with, and I wanted to talk about it. Let's begin by talking about the laws. This is important to discuss because I do believe that we either cause these heinous crimes to happen by choice or allow them to happen by choice. By this, I mean we hold a central belief system, and based on our beliefs, we make certain choices and decisions. These choices or decisions allow us to manifest our reality. What I'm saying is we may believe that some people deserve to be dealt with by violence, and because of that, we ignore warning signs. As a result, we see more and more violence on our streets. Do you think that violence is about the lack of gun laws? Do you honestly believe that the only issues that what some political parties point to as mental illness being unchecked, which led to Congress passing a few gun laws, you think that's enough? What kind of gun laws would help stop gun violence while also respecting the rights of law-abiding gun owners? I'm not sure. Several mass shootings and sustained rising gun violence across the United States has spurred law enforcement officials and lawmakers to push for more gun control measures. In June, President Biden signed into law the first major gun safety legislation passed in decades. The measure failed to ban any weapons, though. It did include funding for school safety and state crisis intervention programs, but states like California, Delaware, and New York have passed new laws to help curb the violence, such as regulating unacceptable ghost guns and strengthening background checks. How about raising the age for a person who desires to get a gun? How about that for a novel issue, a novel thing to do? My question is, do you think this is enough? I really don't. My nephew was killed by a minor with a ghost gun online by an adult who handed him the gun. It just boggles the mind. So obviously something's going on in the black community, and we need to talk about it so we can find some real solutions and heal from it. The Center for Families and Relationships is now offering systemic trauma services to help reduce gun violence in the most impacted gun violence areas of the city of Philadelphia, that including the 19124 and surrounding zip codes. Therapists will provide trauma services using evidence-based practice such as trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy for children and prolonged exposure for adults. The Center for Families and Relationships will hold bi-weekly community workshops to help educate and support those who have experienced trauma due to violence in the community, and they will hold quarterly training to community partners around the impact of trauma and how to engage families in treatment at different levels of engagement. I know for our family, it's been very difficult to engage everyone. We're all in different levels of healing. The program is located in North Philadelphia at 141 East Hunting Park Avenue, and they can be reached at 215-537-5367, extension 4005. With your healing, you can restore the sanity and stabilize the foundation of your personal growth. You can restore the dreams and hopes in you and in all whom you touch. You can participate in the renewing of the soul and spirit of a nation and its people. You can stand up and set forth. You can lift up your voices and be heard. Looking inward allows us an opportunity to impact our own health and the health of others. True that we create our own reality. If you're willing, you can impact your community and the nation. You see, gun violence is not just a message for the few. Gun violence is speaking to everyone nationwide. I realize that everyone is affected. So what do I mean when I say we create our own reality? We do this by doing two things. We either do it or we allow it. We do things such as buy ghost guns, or allow someone else to purchase guns and turn a blind eye. Or we ignore abuse when it happens that's leading to violence. For us as a family, my nephew was threatened and nobody did anything in the household. We didn't find out until afterwards, but no one did anything. So I know a few people right now that are allowing things to happen within their lives and their families that have the potential to lead to violence. That has to stop. So what I'm saying is the etiology of any type of violence begins in the mind. The mind is where all thoughts are created and generated. Violence is to take sorrow from others and give sorrow to others. Therefore, the spiritual solution to minimize violence is to take control of the mind. We have a track next by international DJ legend, Brother O.
Yeah.
Thank you for that song, Brother O. This is a product of WBNN. This is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman. On air now from Lagos, Nigeria, dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation, brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Today we're discussing healing from gun violence in the Black community. We allow gun violence to be a part of our own reality, either by actively having guns, passively knowing others who have these guns, be they legal or illegal. We have to be more proactive and report these weapons. And that sometimes means we have to report family members for having weapons in our homes. I know that sounds horrible, but it's true. And we need to do something and not allow the guns in our homes in the first place. When it comes to our community, we are much, much, much too passive. We allow things to occur without a community response, without a personal response. When it comes to healing or going to grief counseling, some people become very defensive. They believe they can take care of themselves. They want or need no one. When you try to reach out to a defensive person, where there may be a misunderstanding, you may try to talk to them about their childhood or their past, but they don't want to hear anything like that. After all, they don't need your help or your advice. They completely shut you out. Can we have an honest conversation about how violence runs in families? Some people become defenseless, believing that nothing is going to help the situation at all. They are angry and believe there is no hope. Let's talk about it. This is a product of WBNN. This is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Dial in at 516-453-9133. We have caller one in the queue. Caller, can you please tell me who you are and where you're calling from?
All right, we're going to put the caller back on ice for a second. We'll bring on the second caller right now. Caller number two, you're live right now with Mo Garman and Breaking the Silence right here.
Yo, this is Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, calling from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia. You know what I'm saying? I'm just checking in, hollering at my homegirl, Mo. What's happening?
How you doing, Clever One? So nice to hear your voice. Nice of you to call in tonight.
Oh, yeah. You know, so, you know, everything is just gracious. You know what I'm saying? I'm just tapping in, you know. Reverly, you know, we have a lot of information that has passed around to the people that's out here listening, you know what I'm saying? And folks, you know what I mean? Pay attention, folks. Pay attention closely and read the chapters closely. Remember, read the chapters closely and remember, start from chapter one. That's how we always did it, from first grade to whatever grade you decided to succeed to after 12th. You know what I mean? Whenever you was taught a subject, you learn from chapter one, and then you work your way back. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Yes, I do.
And so you know, that's kind of like what we should do with any subject. That methodology kind of works with anything, learning anything, whether it be what part of life that you're learning, learning yourself, learning how to deal with others, you know, or getting in tune with your spirituality or whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? There's levels. Everything has a criteria and a curriculum attached to it. Remember that. You can't freestyle with any of these things out here, folks. I'm Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia. We out here to build the bricks up and stand the sticks up. Check your satellites.
Clever One, before you leave, can you tell us when your show is?
Oh, well, you know, we just, for those who missed it, you know what I mean, my show was just this last past Wednesday, so I guess 30 days or so from that date, we should be
I
looking
got you.
Forward to some. Oh, you got me?
Yeah, I got you, Clem One. Yeah, man. And listen, he's right back on. You know, this month is kind of crazy. If you look at how it goes, 14, you know what I mean, and then 21, 28. So this young man will be back on, amazingly, next month, October, the the 5th. How about that?
Awesome. I look forward to hearing your show. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, Mo.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit more about grief counseling. This is really important to me because, like I said, I have a vested reason for this show tonight. There are many people that are hurting around me, and they don't know what grief counseling is or how to get out of where they are. They're kind of stuck. So that's why I'm kind of going into a lot of detail about the healing process. But let's talk about grief counseling. It's also known as bereavement therapy. It's a form of therapy. It's intended to help you cope with loss, like the death of a partner, family member, friend, or even a colleague. The death of a loved one can cause emotional and physical pain that can sometimes impair your ability to function. Grief counseling can involve working with a counselor or a therapist, a psychologist, or a support group just to address your feelings. In the short term, grief counseling can help you navigate the aftermath of a loss and make some practical decisions. In the long run, it can help you accept the loss of your loved one and adapt to life without them. I know that sounds hard to do, but it is possible for you to adapt to life without that person and to help you control your anger. There are types of grief counseling. Grief counseling can help people at all ages work through sorrow and other emotions that are part of a normal reaction to losing someone. However, you may benefit from other forms of therapy and your grief is overwhelming and you're finding it difficult to cope. This form of therapy can help address behavioral and physical problems that you may face as an aftermath of a loss. It can also help you if you cannot separate yourself emotionally from the person who has passed away. I have to repeat that. That's going on a lot. Some people are having a difficult time separating themselves emotionally from the person that passed away. Grief counseling can really help with that. There's such a thing called complicated grief, which is a condition where the grief takes hold of you and doesn't let go. It can result in troubling thoughts, dysfunctional behaviors, and difficulty regulating your emotions, making it harder for you to adapt to life without your loved one. Complicated grief therapy is a form of psychotherapy that can help you cope with this kind of grief. Traumatic grief, you may experience traumatic grief if you lost a loved one suddenly or if you witnessed their death. Again, this is something that I know people personally that have witnessed the passing of a loved one, and I can't stress enough that grief therapy might be the answer for them, might be able to help them. Traumatic grief therapy can help deal with the intensity of your grief, reduce the symptoms of trauma, and equip you with coping skills. Trauma, if you're wondering, is any type of distressing event or experience that has an impact on a person's ability to cope or function. Trauma can result in emotional, physical, and psychological harm. Many people will experience some kind of traumatic event, from the unexpected death of a loved one to a motor vehicle accident at some point in their lifetime. Now, I'm not talking about an unexpected passing of someone who's like 85 years old. That's a completely different set of grieving. That person has lived their life. We're talking about people that are being lost at an early age for no apparent reason to gun violence. This is a product of WBNN. This is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation. Today, we are discussing healing from gun violence in the Black community, and we have caller 2 in the queue. Caller, can you please tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
That caller actually disconnected, so we'll go right to a track and we'll go right back into your thesis.
Sorry, I've never told.
Thank you, Brother O, for that track. That was right on time. This is a product of WBNN. This is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman. Today, we're discussing healing from gun violence in the Black community. We're going to talk about grief counseling. It involves talking about the person that you lost, your relationship with them, how they passed, and how their passing has impacted you and how you're coping with it. A lot of people do not want to talk in the Black community about their feelings. Well, we have a tendency to hold everything inside and not go to counseling, but it's very beneficial, especially in a situation like this, because it's very traumatic for us. There are some techniques that grief counselors or therapists may use. They may use something called ACT therapy, which is acceptance and commitment therapy. It's a form of psychotherapy that encourages you to accept negative feelings and circumstances so you can begin to focus on healthier patterns that can help you reach your goals. You can also have cognitive behavioral therapy. It's also a form of psychotherapy. It involves identifying and changing thought patterns that can negatively influence your behavior. For example, you could be thinking that you're blaming yourself for your loved one passing. If only you had been there for them that day or helped them walk across the street that day, something like that. It wasn't you. It wasn't your fault. Group therapy, this is a form of therapy. It's carried out in group settings. It can be comforting to share your feelings with other people who are going through the same things as you are and working to recovery together. There's art therapy, where you can use creative forms to express your emotions and promote healing. It can also be helpful to people of all ages, including children, who may struggle to communicate their feelings. Speaking of children, they do have play therapy that's used to gain insight into a child's thoughts and feelings in order to help them process unresolved emotions and build constructive behavior patterns, because often they don't understand what just happened to their mother, father, sister, brother, or loved one. What can grief counseling help you with? Grief counseling can help you identify and express your emotions. If you have lost someone who was an integral part of your life, grief counseling can also help you rebuild your routine and your identity. In the aftermath of a loss, you may experience a range of emotions, and it's quite normal to feel shock, numbness, sorrow, yearning, anger, denial, big one for me, helplessness, regret, guilt, and anxiety. Regret is also a big one. For instance, you may not feel just sad by losing a loved one. You may also feel angry for them leaving you. And you may regret something that you said to them before they passed. Maybe that was the day you two had a big argument. Or maybe you had an argument the day before, and then all of a sudden something happened. It can sometimes be difficult to admit these feelings to others. That might be a reason why you don't want to go to counseling, or even to yourself. Sometimes if you don't want to do that, you have to admit it to yourself. However, harboring unresolved issues can take a toll on your mental and physical health and make it difficult for you to move on. Grief counseling can also offer a safe space for you to express your emotions and process them so that you can start healing. You may find that you experience these emotions in the different stages of grief. Counseling can help you navigate each stage and reach acceptance. The first stage we're going to talk about in the grieving process is denial. It helps us minimize the overwhelming pain and loss. We process the reality of our loss. We are also trying to survive emotional pain. It can be hard to believe we have lost an important person in our lives, especially when we have just spoken with them in the previous week or even the previous day. That was a big thing with some people in my family. I don't know about you, but that's what happens in a traumatic loss. You were just talking to them, you just had an experience with them, and then something terrible happened. During this stage of denial, our reality is shifted completely, and it can take our minds time to adjust to our new reality. We reflect on the experiences we've shared, person we lost, and we might find ourselves wondering how to move forward in life without this person at all. This is a lot of information to explore and a lot of painful imagery to process. Denial attempts to slow down this process and takes us through one step at a time. rather than risk the potential of feeling overwhelmed by our emotions. So denial is normal to sit back and say, I can't believe it. I just can't believe this is happening to me. Denial is not only an attempt to pretend that the loss did not exist, we're also trying to absorb and understand what exactly happened in the first place. The second stage of grieving is anger. We're trying to adjust to a new reality and are likely experiencing extreme emotional discomfort. There is so much to process. Anger may feel like it allows us an emotional outlet. Keep in mind that anger does not require us to be vulnerable. However, it may feel more socially acceptable than admitting that we are scared. Anger allows us to express our emotions with less fear of judgment or rejection. Anger also tends to benefit, be the first thing we feel when we start to release emotions related to the loss. It can leave us feeling isolated in our experience. It can also cause us to be perceived as unapproachable by others in moments when we could benefit from comfort, connection, and reassurance. Some of us take our anger out on people closest to us, and we need to talk about it. As within any family, that needs to be talked about. Anger can affect your health. Excessive anger can also put physical well-being at risk. Anger can cause headaches, migraines, chest pains, and aches and more. Over the long term, anger issues can further complicate pre-existing health conditions. It can also put you at risk for hypertension, high blood pressure, depression, cardiovascular issues such as a heart attack or even a stroke. So doing activities to relieve your anger is key, and you have to do whatever works for you. Some may need exercise. Some may need to journal. Some may need to meditate. Some may need to talk to somebody. The point is you have to do something to control your anger so that you can stay healthy for the rest of your family, because you can add to the tragedy by becoming sick. The next stage of coping is bargaining. When coping with a loss, it isn't unusual to feel so desperate that you're willing to do anything at all to alleviate or minimize the pain. During this stage of grieving, you may try to bargain to change the situation, agreeing to do something in return for being relieved of the pain you feel. When bargaining starts to take place, we often direct our requests to a higher power or something bigger than ourselves. We might be able to influence others for a different outcome. Bargaining during the grieving process can come in the form of a variety of promises. I know I did. God, if you can just catch this person, I'll turn my life around, you know, or I promise to do better if you let this person live, or I'll never get angry again if you stop him or her from dying or leaving me. It's a horrible place to be, but that's a normal place to be when tragedy strikes. There's also an acute awareness of humanness in this stage of grieving. When we realize that there's nothing we can do to influence or change or create a better result, we realize that we're helpless here. Bargaining comes from a feeling of helplessness and gives us a perceived sense of control over something that feels so out of control. During the bargaining phase, we tend to focus on our personal faults or regret. We might look back at our interactions with the person we are losing and note that at times we feel disconnected or may have caused them pain. We look back at the memories and say, oh, I remember when I hurt his or her feelings, and I'm so sorry for that. If you just let this go by, or you just let this person live, I promise I will never do that again. That's very common. It's common to recall times when we have said things we didn't mean and wish we could go back in time and behave differently. We also sometimes make a drastic assumption that if things had played out differently, we would not be in such an emotionally painful place in our lives. We think it's our fault. Again, this is a product of WBNN. This is Breaking the Silence. And I'm your host, Mo Garman, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Dial in at 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation, brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Today we're discussing healing from gun violence in the Black community, and we have caller 3 in the queue. Caller, can you please tell me who you are and where you're calling from? Hello, caller. Are you there?
Hi. Peace and blessings, Mancho, my sister.
Hey, Sister Bessie, how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing fine, and you're doing a great job. I love your information, and this information that you are giving could save lives. I just want to say that I am sad for Philadelphia and the families. When I first came to Philadelphia, all I could look at was the statement, the city of brotherly love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what made me want to stay here in Philadelphia. And during that time, it was not as much violence as it is today.
Right.
And it saddens me because a lot of times we speak about racism. We speak about how we are treated as a people around the world and in the U.S., but we still are shooting and killing each other,
right.
Killing the baby.
Yeah.
The husbands are killing the wives. The sisters are killing the children. And until we come together as a people, this will continue.
Don't you think there are some warning signs in that family that somebody knew that somebody was going to do something to somebody? Don't you think we missed some of those warning signs?
Yes. I feel like if you raise the child and that child personality change or
mm-hmm.
that adult
mm-hmm.
personality change, you
Talk
know,
about
and
it.
we don't question it. We have to question it. We have to find out what's on their mind. And maybe that can prevent a life from being lost because a lot of people are angry because of the condition that we are in now. And it doesn't hurt, just like you said, it doesn't hurt for you to talk to somebody. You know, that's what they have, mental health therapists and therapists to talk. And then they have other programs like you was explaining that you can go to and just talk to help yourself spiritually and mentally. Because
right.
there's a lot of anger out there.
You're right. It's too much. It's just too much. And
we're
going through it as a family, you know, because then we're angry at the person who did it. So then that's more anger. it's like a never-ending cycle.
Yes, and then I saw a woman, she was a mother, and I believe she lost 3 sons right behind each other.
Wow.
3 sons.
Wow.
That were murdered.
Crazy.
You know, it's when I saw that, you know, my pain went through me because all this violence is very traumatizing to the
mm-hmm.
elderly and to the children. When you walk outside, you don't feel safe.
That's true.
You know, so unless we do like you suggested, talk to someone and try to help release your anger, because you can find other things to do with yourself when you get angry.
That's true. There are more productive ways
mm-hmm.
to deal with your anger than to just be angry and violent at home and screaming and hollering and yelling at other people. You could actually be out there helping to solve the problem with
yes.
what happened with your loved one. You could actually be doing something productive. You could be working with counselors to help with that, you know?
Correct, yes. And, you know, it's not the gun. It's the person that's carrying the gun.
Exactly. That's why I said we allow it to happen. Sometimes we know things are going to happen. For example, somebody threatens another person and you just shrug it off.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they didn't mean it. They meant it. They meant that. And when we examine our hearts, we know that the person is a threatening or angry person, and we know we need to do something about that person. We say things like, Charlie ain't right in the head, but we don't do anything about Charlie. You know?
Yes. That's right. Well, I just want to thank you for all that you do. I love you, Mo. And I'm going to sit back and I'm going to listen to more so I can learn more. And,
thank
you
for
know,
calling.
I'm Sister Bessie the Truther. I'm from the front porch, and I will be on the 16th. So I'll sit back. I love you dearly, sister.
Thank you. I love you, too. You take care. We have a track next by international DJ legend Brother O.
For all those times you stood by me, for all the truth that you made me see, for all the joy you brought to my life, for all the wrong that you made right, for every dream you made so true, for all the love I found in you, I'll be forever thankful, baby.
Thank you so much for that track, Brother O. This is a product of WBNN. This is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman. On air now from Lagos, Nigeria, dial in at 516-391-33. Press 1 to join the conversation. Brought to you by the Ngozi Time Multimedia, and today we're talking about healing from gun violence in the Black community. Oh, my goodness. Let's talk a little bit about depression. During the experience of processing grief, there comes a time when our imaginations calm down and we slowly start to look at the reality of our present situation. Bargaining doesn't feel like an option, and we're faced with what's happening. That stage of grieving, we call this the feeling of loss of our loved one more abundantly. And our panic begins to subside. The emotional fog begins to clear, and the loss feels more present and unavoidable. In those moments, we tend to pull inward and sadness grows. We might find ourselves being less sociable and reaching out less to others about what we're going through. Although this is a very natural stage of the grieving process, dealing with depression after the loss of a loved one can be extremely isolating. Some people handle depression differently. Some people go into a shell. Other people just don't talk at all. You just don't see them. They just completely bottle up. If you or your loved one are struggling with depression, you can contact Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. Their national helpline number is 1-800-662-45-4357 for more information on support and treatment and facilities in your area. The last of the stages of grief is called acceptance. That's when it comes to, when we come to a place of acceptance, it's not that we no longer feel the pain of loss. Instead, we're no longer resisting the reality of the situation, and we're not struggling every day to make it something different. We're no longer taking out our anger on ourselves or other people. Sadness and regret are still present in that phase, but emotional survival tactics of denial, bargaining, anger are less likely to present themselves during this phase of the grieving process. So you're probably wondering how long do the grief stages last? And there's no specific time period for any of the stages. One person may experience the stage quickly, and as in a matter of weeks, whereas another person it might take months or even years to move through the stages of grief. Whatever time it takes for you to move through the stages is normal for you. As we reflect on the five stages of grief, it's noteworthy to mention that people grieve differently. So you may not go through each stage or experience them in order. The lines of grieving process stages are often blurred. We may often move from one stage to another stage and then back again before fully moving into a new stage. So you can be in acceptance one day and be right back into depression. So that's all very normal. If you live with the person that you lost, or if they were a part of your daily routine in some way, it can be extremely difficult to approach a certain space or activity without them. Additionally, you could also be stressed. It may also be stressful to figure out how to take certain tasks for yourself. For example, if your partner managed your finances or certain household tasks, or maybe you have to take on those tasks or roles yourself, a grief counselor can help you address your anxiety around these issues. They can help you work with a plan to tackle them at your own pace that you're comfortable with, and gradually rebuild your routine. You have to redefine your identity. When you lose someone very close to you, like a husband, wife, in my case, a family member, for instance, you may feel like you have lost a certain part of your own identity as well. Grief counseling can help you redefine your identity by encouraging you to focus on other interests or relationships. It can also equip you with the skills and confidence you need to try new hobbies. Reach out to other people and build support systems for yourself. That is really hard to do. I'm going to be honest. Sometimes it's really hard to reach out to people you don't know and talk about these issues until you find out that they have the same issues. So being in support systems is really important. You may also find that you gain a new identity, like a widow or a single parent if you have lost a spouse, for instance. Grief counseling can help you to you and how you can deal with adopting these new identities. There are benefits to grief counseling. Grief counseling can offer you several benefits, which include fewer physical and emotional symptoms will develop out of coping skills that can help you adapt to life without your loved one, so that you're almost displacing your anger about the situation or others. Improving self-awareness as you start to understand what your feelings are and why. Accepting your loss, which involves integrating it into your reality and maintaining a healthy bond with the person you lost. This is WBNN. This is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Please dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation. Brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. We have caller 4 in the queue. Caller, can you please tell us where you're calling from and who you are?
My name is Angela. I'm calling from Union City tonight. I tell you, I thank you for the show on tonight. I'm doing okay.
Good.
I'm doing okay. I tell you, grief is something else, and how people deal with it, it can be something. Because I too have I've lost quite a few people over the last 3 or 4 years, and
wow.
I've dealt with it totally different than some people close to me. I have a young man in my life. He lost his son, and he has totally dealt with it differently than I've dealt with the loss that I've been through, and just trying to be there for him and trying to understand, because you know I don't have kids. And it's hard when you don't have kids and trying to help somebody get through losing a child, you know. And I thank you for this on tonight, because there's somebody else out there that's going through and need to hear this. So thank you for sharing on tonight.
You're very welcome. I can understand exactly what you're coming from, because I don't have children. And the people in my family, we lost my nephew. So I lost a nephew, but my brother lost a son, you know? So it is difficult.
Right.
It is very difficult. I understand exactly what you're saying.
So, yeah.
Are you a host?
You know, a lot of people. I am. I'm on the day after Jerry, the day before Hooney. I'll be back on September 21st.
Okay.
So, yeah. I am Angela with Walk and Purpose with Angela. So, yeah, I'm a host.
Thank you so much for identifying yourself and telling us a little bit about you and letting us know when your show is. Thanks for calling in.
Well, yeah, thank you for this amazing show on tonight. God bless.
God bless. Thank you. We have a track next by international DJ legend, Brother O.
Bring me through, not yet there. That I
Product of WBNN. This is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. We have caller 5 in the queue. Caller, can you please tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
Mo, how you doing this evening? This is your boy, Terrace Strength. How's everything going?
Fine. How are you, Terrace? How are you tonight?
I'm doing okay. I mean, this topic that you're talking about, I'm glad you're talking about it. You're doing a great job. It saddens me a little bit, you know, when we talk about this. It's a very, very powerful topic. You're talking about grief and dealing with it. And I just want to give my two cents on this a little bit, this whole thing, because, you know, when we look at what's going on in our community, it's predominantly young black men or black men, where we're actively shooting and showing and being doing reckless, having reckless behavior where we're killing each other,
right.
You know, and actually killing other people, neighbors and other young kids in our own communities. And, you know, when you take a psychological profile and look at the families that these children are coming out of, you know, there's abuse going on in these families. The fathers either aren't there. If they're there, they're abusive or they're not there consistently. You know, you have the mothers who are pissed off because the men are not there. They're not taking care of or being responsible. And so all of this adds up to young males feeling like they don't matter. And when they feel they don't matter, they're angry. You know, we become angry because we feel like nobody cares about us. Our future seems bleak. And so we act out in violent ways because we feel like we don't care. And that's not a them problem. That's a us problem.
We
may have gotten there because of our history, but we got to do better in these relationships. This is why I talk about this stuff so much, because we, you know, many of us are in abusive, we come out of abusive families. Mm-hmm. Our families are abusive. They allow abuse to run rampant through our families, and eventually it gets out of control, and now we are actively killing each other. These numbers are too high. And we accept them too easily. And so it saddens me because when you break down the anonymity of how all of this happens, we're not being honest and we're not being accountable. You know, we're not being accountable. Right. When you look at children who are abused, when they come out of abusive families, you know, I mean, we see this, you know, they start cutting themselves because
yes.
they feel like all of this stuff is happening. It's happening because of them, that they deserve this. And that's all this really is the manifestation of the abuse that we've received from others, and now we're abusing ourselves. And
yeah.
so when I hear us, when I hear there's a running joke in a black or in the African community, there's a running joke that, you know, we don't need to go to counseling and all these things. I got it. I can handle it. It's just, it makes me feel sad because it's like, you know, it's just sheer ignorance. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, and we're in denial and we are all paying the price for it. And then we turn around and we have this attitude that, well, it's not my kid. It's not your kid. It's all of us. It's a responsibility for all of us. We all have to play our parts in reversing what's going on. It's a black eye on all of us. We are all connected. And so I'm glad you're talking about this because it's showing for the world to see how neglectful we are being in taking care of ourselves. We have not been taking care of our psychological selves. We have not. We have not. And we have to do better, family. We just have to do better. You just have to do better. I mean, these numbers, you quoted numbers from Philadelphia, but if you added up all the states in this country, just in this country, it's atrocious. This, our country is too violent.
This country is just
too violent. You know, so we just have to do better in these relationships that break down and lead to all of this. We have too many families that are too abusive. Care, because it's just rage running through these families. And we don't care. We're abusing each other. We can't get along with each other. There's not enough love. No one's telling these young men that they're loved. They don't hear that. They don't believe that. They are living their reality. And we are part of that reality. And we have to be honest about that. And many of us don't want to be honest about that. We got to be honest about it. It is our problem. And that's all I wanted to say, Mo. You're doing a great job. I appreciate you talking about this topic. We can talk about grief and all this stuff. That's true, how to deal with it. But how about let's spend more time talking about preventing it from happening in the first place?
In the first place.
And let's hold each other accountable for who we are in these relationships. Who are we going to be? We need more men to have more integrity and to stand up and stop trying to act like, you know, they're the Don Dada, and they're not. That's not what being a man is about. What's being a man is being able to tell your fellow brother that you love him and that he matters. And not enough of that goes on. We got our chests poked out while we killing each other. So just my two cents, Mo. Thanks for the show.
When is your show again, sir?
My show is on the 28th.
Okay. All right, I'll be sure to tune in. Thank you so much for your call. This is WBNN. This is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman. We have a track next by international DJ legend Brother O. Thank you so much, Brother O, for that track. This is a product of WBNN. This is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman. We have caller 6 in the queue. Caller, can you please tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
Hey, peace, Mo Garman. How you doing tonight?
Tony Bakatoon, how are you?
Man, right now I'm wiping tears from these great big hawk eyes of mine, you know, between, you know, what you're bringing tonight and your delivery, the music, the Hall of Fame, four times his friend. I mean, right now, I'm really, really having a moment. You know, I feel for what's happening, especially, you know, with our youth. And I'm going to say that lightly. I know a lot that's happening, but it's also something that we got to be aware of. And a lot of answers that a lot of people have been waiting for is going to come when I deliver the final part of this three-part series I've been running. But anyway, thank you so much for this heartfelt show. Shout out to Hall of Fame nominated Ted Spence, and I want to add on to what he shared with him about being a man. And I'm glad this is being recorded. These young people out here now don't know nothing about being a man because I came up doing the rough and ready. And don't get me wrong, I love my guns now. Trust me, I lost books of home. I love stacking my books on my shelves. But, you know, there's times when gunplay is necessary, right? But my main thing is during the time in which you came up, which is really, really played like a pair of funky old MC Hammer pants right about now, it's old-fashioned knuckle game. That's when we was, you know, when man was man and women was women. When we were able to do that, we still was able to live. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So between the music, between the movies, between the...
Well, you've got a lot of background noise with you. Can you turn down the volume of whatever is going on in the background?
I wish I could. I'm waiting for my next class. So I'm just going to go ahead and end it right quick. Thank you so much for this show, and I'm just going to put it on pause. Okay,
thank you so much. Now we go off to Ngozi time. Brother O, are you there?
I'm there. I'm waiting for my commissioner.
Okay.
Well, she might not be available. So, I'll do Ngozi time. First of all, what a wonderful show tonight. You have any type of conversation to what Huni just said about, you know, gunplay, which you've been, you know, your thesis talked against that?
Well, I couldn't really hear what he was saying. That's why I was telling him to turn the volume down, because I couldn't really hear what he was saying. I think he was trying to make the point that men should own guns. Is that what he was saying?
No, he said that sometimes gunplay is in order to protect.
No, I really have a hard time with that, because I think that violence begets violence. And we're in a situation right now where we're showing that as we think that that's what's necessary, and this is what's gotten us into this situation in the first place. I think that when we want to answer violence with violence, we just do nothing but perpetuate the whole gun violence situation, and we lose more men, and we lose more women, and we lose more children.
All right. So there is a rebuttal. Everyone tonight, thank you so much for joining this show, Breaking the Silence with Mo Garman. And what more can we say about this wonderful, outstanding week we had here at WBNN? Now I'm going to make a outstanding and official announcement. Through the constitution of WBNN, we had to make a change in how records are made and recorded. This week we talked about a record that was, you know, really, really put into a high level. That is Sonya Griffin. In 2017, this young lady came on and she did something that was, you know, outstanding. Never doing radio before, having seven all-time Connection Records as a new host. And a lot of people, you know, email me on the situations, and we talked about it through our sponsorship. And me being the head of our company, I had a vote, and it was outstanding 3-0, unanimous. If a host comes on to WBNN, the standard of excellence when it comes down to being a new host goes back to Sonny Griffin. And we go back to the postmark of November 27th, 2017. Now, any host that breaks 8 all-time, never doing a show before, will be the all-time rookie record. Giving shout-out to Sonny Griffin in 2017, the 7 in a row consecutive. The reason why the award is named after her for our host of the year is because of that excellence. The second all-time is Arsette Atunre with 6. Maybe a whole lot of people that did 5. Giving on to Shakir Rice in 2016 with 5. Giving honor to Andre Presley in 2015 with 5. Giving honor to Christine Jesus Powell with 5. And that's where it is right now. The young man by the name of Clev won with opportunity if he hits 5 more to break Sonny Griffin's record. But right now, the all-time record is the reason why we have the WBNN New Host of the Year named after that young lady. And she always said, I am Sonny Griffin. She's the greatest of all time, period. Any comments to Chessens? You can email me, but I said what I said. On Sunday night, because we don't do any shows tomorrow, we come back with Dr. Chinchilla J with News Farm. And I said a young lady, that is amazing. And right now she's tied for 4th all-time. Matter of fact, she's tied for 3rd all-time in the only Hall of Champions. And she's just amazing. News Forum, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time right here at the Story Network of WBNN. And we have advertising through and goes to time multimedia. Any comments, suggestions, or wonderful program tonight? oladele.goesmymy@gmail.com. You can find us at Pinterest and Instagram and Twitter at @ngozi_time. @oladelemalewigozi at Facebook. I am your mother and father's favorite producer, @oladelemalewigozi, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Force Radio supports on a constant basis. And now back to Mo Garman for her final thoughts.
Thank you, Brother O. Thanks for that. I'd like to end with a quote. While grief is not fun to deal with, it is a valuable tool to bring about amazing change and growth. The key to this deep level of learning is attitude. How will you respond to the pain you're feeling? It depends on your attitude. We will connect with one another in 1 month, which will be October 7th at 9:30. Until then, remember, we're all spiritual beings having a human experience. As souls on this plane, the healing is necessary. Have a good night, everyone.